Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to other stories. He says, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. And mention in the book the story of Ibrahim. Indeed, he was Siddiq, a prophet. إِذْ قَالَ لِيَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ لِمَ تَعْبُدُ مَا لَا يَسْمَعُ وَلَا يُبَصِرُ وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا. And he said to his father, My dear father, why do you worship something that does neither hear nor see, nor help you in any way? يَا أَبَتِ إِنِّي قَدْ جَاءَنِي مِنَ الْعِلْمِ مَا لَمْ يَأْتِكَ فَاتَّبِعْنِي أَهْدِكَ صِرَاطًا سَوِيًّا. My dear father, indeed there has come to me a knowledge that has not come to you. So follow me and I shall lead you to a straight path. يَا أَبَتِ لَا تَعْبُدِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ كَانَ لِلرَّحْمَنِ عَصِيًّا. My dear father, do not worship the shaitan. The shaitan is surely rebellious to the All-Merciful. يا أبتي إني أخاف أن يمسك عذاب من الرحمن فتكون للشيطان وليا. My dear father, I fear lest a punishment from the All Merciful should afflict you, and you become a companion of Shaytan. قال أراغب أنت عن آلهتي يا إبراهيم لئن لم تنتهي لأرجمنك واهجرني مليا. He said, Are you averse to my gods, O Ibrahim? Should you not stop, I will definitely stone you and leave me for good. قَالَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكَ سَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكَ رَبِّي إِنَّهُ كَانَ بِي حَفِيًّا. He said, Peace on you. I shall seek forgiveness for you from my Lord. He has always been gracious to me. وَاعْتَزِلُكُمْ وَمَا تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ وَأَدْعُوا رَبِّي عَسَىٰ أَلَّا أَكُونَ بِدُعَاءِ رَبِّي شَقِيًّا. And I go away from you and what you invoke besides Allah, and I shall invoke my Lord. Hopefully I shall not be a loser by invoking my Lord. فَلَمَّا اعْتَزَلَهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَكُلًّا جَعَلْنَا نَبِيًّا. So when he went away from them and what they worshiped besides Allah, we blessed him with Ishaq and Ya'qub, and we made each one of them a prophet. وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِنَا وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ عَلِيًّا. And we bestowed on them a great deal of our mercy and caused them to have a good name at a high level. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is relating the relevant story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And the reason that the story is relevant is because remember the situation that the Muslims are at right now. Right? So the Muslims are, the community is in its infancy, Islam is in its early years, and the disbelievers of Makkah, the mushrikun, are causing trouble. And what are these, what are the mushrikun worshipping? What are they worshipping? Idols, right? They're worshipping idols. And the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam also has to do with the worship of idols, right? So we see the relevancy there. Secondly, the Muslims have, or a group of the Muslims has migrated to Abyssinia. And what does Ibrahim alayhi salam end up having to do? He also ends up having to migrate from his people. So, and the other thing also is that Muslims had, like, it was a small community, right? And a lot of the disbelievers, a lot of the mushrikun of Makkah were relatives. And originally they were friends, right, with the Muslims. And again, here we see that Ibrahim alayhi salam is dealing with no one other than his father. So there's a lot of relevancy to this story and where it is mentioned. The other thing that we notice here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to Ibrahim alayhi salam as Siddiq. Siddiq al-Nabiyya. So the scholars have said that Siddiq is the highest point of being truthful, right? So you have Sadiq and then you have Siddiq. So Siddiq being the utmost level, meaning truthful in beliefs, in words, and deeds. And these prophets who basically were those who had reached that level of Siddiq. So that is something that we also note here. Now Ibrahim alayhi salam is having this discussion with his father that I just read. And basically he's trying to convince his father rationally, right, logically, emotionally, trying to convince him, plain and simple, with simple words, that look, my dear father, what you are doing, what you are worshipping is wrong. Because it can't harm you, it can't save you, it can't do anything. So why do you worship that? And he also mentions that do not worship shaitan. Now, we know that his father was worshipping the idols, right? But if you think about it, when a person is worshipping idols and is not worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has been equated to worshipping shaitan. Because if you don't worship Allah, and you think you're worshipping the idols, but the idols are dead, and like they can't move, there's nothing in them, there's no life, then well, who exactly are you worshipping then? Who are you satisfying? And who you're satisfying is shaitan. So that's why he says, Ya abati la ta'budu shaitan, my father, don't worship shaitan. Basically he says that I'm afraid that that you will become a companion of shaitan. Now what's also very interesting, and this really stood out for me, it says, Ya abati inni akhafu an yamassaka azab, that my dear father, I fear lest a punishment, that the punishment will touch you, and the punishment from whom? Right? He didn't say Allah, right? He didn't say, you know, from the punisher. Rather, he says the punishment from the Rahman. Right? I'm afraid that the punishment from the Rahman will touch you. If you think about it, it stood out because it seems a little odd, right? You're talking about punishment, and then you're talking about Rahman. Right, Rahman being the most gracious. Right, and basically, what it could indicate possibly is that worshipping anyone other than Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, worshipping anyone other than Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, is so serious. It's so serious. It is so grave. It's so serious. It is so grave that even the Rahman, right? Even the Rahman, with all these qualities of benevolence and of, you know, of being gracious and of being merciful, even that can be turned towards punishment, and that's how serious that is. So it's to highlight the seriousness of this act. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say that when, so basically goes to show that Ibrahim alayhi salam did hijrah, right? He left, so when he went away because his father had threatened him and said that if you continue with this preaching against my lords and that which we worship, then you know I will get you stoned basically, and therefore Ibrahim alayhi salam left from there. And when he had made that sacrifice, when he had left, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says we blessed him with Ishaq and Ya'qub. One of the questions is, why is it Ismail mentioned? And Ismail alayhi salam's mention is actually coming in later on, and that's why he's not mentioned here. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مُوسَىٰ إِنَّهُ كَانَ مُخْرَصًا وَكَانَ رَسُولًا نَبِيًّا. And mention in the book the story of Musa alayhi salam. Indeed, he was a chosen one and was a messenger, a prophet. وَنَادَيْنَاهُ مِنْ جَانِبِ الطُّورِ الْأَيْمَنِ وَقَرَّبَنَاهُ نَجِيًّا. And we called him from the right side of the Mount Hur, Mount Sinai, and we brought him close to communicate in secret. وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ مِنْ رَحْمَتِنَا أَخَاهُ هَارُونَ نَبِيًّا. And out of our mercy, we granted him his brother Harun as a prophet. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِسْمَعِيلِ. So far we've had the mention of Ibrahim alayhi salam. After Isa alayhi salam, we had Ibrahim alayhi salam. We had the mention of Ishaq and Yaqub alayhi salam. We had Musa alayhi salam. And now we had Harun alayhi salam. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِسْمَعِيلِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَادِقَ الْوَعْدِ وَكَانَ رَسُولًا نَبِيًّا. And mention in the book the story of Ismail alayhi salam. He was indeed true to his promise and was a messenger, a prophet. وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ وَكَانَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ مَرْضِيًّا. He used to enjoin salah and zakah upon his family and was favorite to his Lord. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِدْرِيسِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. And mention in the book the story of Idris. He was indeed a Siddiq. Again, we hear the word Siddiq, a prophet. وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا. We raised him to a high place. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّةِ آدَمَ وَمِمَّنْ حَمَلْنَا مَعَ نُوحٍ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْرَائِيلَ وَمِمَّنْ هَدَيْنَا وَاجْتَبَيْنَا إِذَا تُتْلَىٰ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُ الرَّحْمَٰنِ خَرُّوا سُجَّدًا وَبُكِيًّا. فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ. That's actually a verse of prostration, so we'll do that afterwards, inshallah. Those are the people whom Allah has blessed with bounties, the prophets from the progeny of Adam. And of those whom you caused to board the ark, along with Nuh alayhi salam, and from the progeny of Ibrahim and Israel and Yaqub, and from those whom we guided and selected. When the verses of the Rahman were recited before them, they used to fall down in sujood, in prostration, while they were weeping. فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. Then came after them the successors. And what did they do? Who neglected salah and followed their desires, so they will soon face the outcome of their deviation. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. Except those who repent and believe and do good deeds, and therefore they will enter the paradise and not be wronged at all. جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ الَّتِي وَعَدَ الرَّحْمَنُ عِبَادَهُ بِالْغَيْبِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ وَعْدُهُ مَأْتِيًا. They will enter the gardens of eternity promised by the All-Merciful to His servants in the unseen world. They will surely reach the places of His promise. لَا يَسْمَعُونَ فِيهَا لَغْوًا إِلَّا سَلَامًا وَلَهُمْ رِزْقُهُمْ فِيهَا بُكْرَةً وَعَشِيًّا. They will not hear anything absurd therein, meaning in Jannah, but a word of peace, and they will have their provision at morning and evening. تِلْكَ الْجَنَّةُ الَّتِي نُورِثُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا مَنْ كَانَ تَقِيًّا. That is the paradise we will give as inheritance to those of our servants who have been God-fearing. So it's a large portion, and the reason the sections get longer is because as we go on, the time gets shorter. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the stories of the other prophets. So we hear the mention of Musa alayhi salam, all these other prophets, and it basically is showing the chain of prophethood. But it's showing the chain of prophethood, and after showing the miraculous birth, talking about the miraculous birth of Zakariya alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam, it's to show that look, these are all part of the same chain of prophethood. That they all have been blessed in one way or the other. They all have certain qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. And Isa alayhi salam is a part of that chain and nothing more. So each one of them was blessed with something, and there's different, you know, different qualities that have been mentioned for each of these prophets. Now, one of the things we notice is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مُوسَىٰ إِنَّهُ كَانَ مُخْلَصًا وَكَانَ رَسُولًا نَبِيًّا. So here we see the word Rasul as well as Nabi. So the question is there a difference between these two? Is the meaning the same? What's going on here? So basically, there are different interpretations, different understandings that the scholars have written regarding the difference between Nabi and Rasul. But what it appears to be, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, is that Rasul is a term, when they're used together, or even individually in some places, we see the word Rasul being used to describe not necessarily just prophets, but the angels as well, or other messengers, basically. So when we see, when we talked about we talked about Jibreel alayhi salam going to Maryam alayhi salam, and that's what he said, right? إِنَّمَا أَنَا رَسُولُ رَبِّكَ. That I am a Rasul from your Lord, from my Lord, basically a messenger. Now the word Nabi, so the scholars say that the difference is that Nabi would be a prophet, Rasul would be a messenger. And a Nabi would have been given a book, or would have been given a new an understanding that would be new for their people. And a general Rasul, in terms of prophets, would basically reiterate and reteach what had already been revealed to previous prophets. So this is one of the interpretations of the difference between Rabbi and Rasul that the scholars have mentioned. But in the end, we know that all of these were prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because of that, they have an elevated status. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also highlights, is that these are all who have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of these. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala summarizes it, right? It says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ and so on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, makes it very clear that these are all prophets, they have all been blessed with different bounties, and they are all God-fearing, there are all those who remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who were conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to wash away any sort of misgivings or misunderstandings about any of these other prophets as well. Right? Because yes, we have seen what has happened with the case of Isa alayhi salam, and there's a risk that in the future, you know, some other group of people might start venerating, start worshipping, start associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a prophet. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear that they are all servants of Allah, they are all prophets, and they are all Allah fearing. Now, after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, you know, the people who came afterwards, the successors, who neglected salah, adha'u salah, or whose salah was broken or was deficient, wattaba'u shahawat. So here we see the importance of salah, of course. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighting how important it is not only to offer our salah, but to ensure that our salah is in a state where it's not broken, where it's in a proper state in which it really ought to be. And the pursuing of desires. وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ. So these successors who came afterward, they neglected the salah and they followed their desires, and because of that, they will soon face the outcome of their deviation. And what it suggests to us, that if we start following and pursuing our desires, that is what can end up leading us astray. That is what can lead us astray, following our desires. So every time we feel like doing something, every time we feel like doing something, and it's something that we enjoy doing, it's something that we want to do, we've got to look at it, we've got to stop it, we've got to look at, is this something that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is this something that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is this something that will only please myself, or will it actually please Allah or not? Now the lessons from this group, so this was the second part that I talked about. The lessons learned from, there's a number of lessons that can be derived. But the first lesson that we see from the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam is how he actually spoke to his father, right? Is how to give counsel to elders. And that's the first lesson that we learn from this. That Ibrahim alayhi salam obviously is challenging the beliefs of his father, right? So that's not something that is easy to do. And Ibrahim alayhi salam speaks in the most respectful of tones, right? Where he says, Ya Abati, right? And he uses terms like Ya Abati and terms that show utmost and extreme respect for his father. Even though he does not agree with what his father believes in, he's challenging his father's beliefs, yet at the same time, he's doing it in the most respectful and the most appropriate of manners. So it actually shows us the etiquettes of speaking with our elders, first of all, but also to counsel our elders. It also shows that there is a possibility that just because I'm older than someone doesn't mean I'm always right, right? And there is a possibility that someone who is younger than me, my child, can actually be more correct and have a more better understanding of something than I do. So it goes both ways, but it really shows how to counsel our elders. Now the second thing it also shows is how to deal with the ignorant or with ignorant beliefs or ignorant arguments. So when Ibrahim alayhi salam tried to convince his father rationally, logically, emotionally, but it didn't work because he said, you know, these idols can't do anything, they're no good, you know, why do you worship them? Then he said, look, you are my father. Basically what he's saying is, I care about you, I don't want the punishment of the Rahman getting to you, so that's why, just please listen to me. But when that was to no avail, when it didn't work, then what did he do? He said salam, right? He said salam, and he left from there. And in another verse, which is actually from the collection of verses that we talked about in the khutbah yesterday, the qualities of the believers, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمَ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. So the qualities of the believers are that when the ignorant speak to them, instead of engaging in fruitless and useless debate, what do they say? They say, salam, peace, see you later. And that's it. So that's the other thing that we learned from this. In the mention of, I believe it was Ismail alayhi salam, وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ. Right? So from that we learn that when we're going to order someone to do something or we want to bring about some change, the first place to start is from our families. The first place to start is from our families. Because even though he was a prophet, and even in the case of Ibrahim alayhi salam, where does he start from? He starts from his father. Or they start from their close family members. So that's where we begin. We try to bring change there, and once we have success, or even if we don't have success, once we have tried that, then we slowly start enlarging our circle. The final thing that we learned, or that we can discuss today, is that إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُ الرَّحْمَنِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about all of these prophets and all of these people who have been blessed, that when the verses of the Rahman are recited, خَرُّوا سُجَّدًا وَبُكِيًّا, they fall in prostration and weeping. And from that the point comes that, and the scholars say that it is actually something good, commendable, and is recommended to actually weep while reciting the Qur'an. Now it can be hard sometimes, because a lot of times our heart and mind are not really into it. And in fact, it's actually recommended that if our heart and mind are not really into it, that we actually put it aside until we actually feel like we desire reading it. Now that doesn't mean that if you never feel like reading it, we never just pick it up and just forget about it. No. But we should try to create a condition where that when we recite the Qur'an, we are actually into it. If you're reading the translation, if you don't understand it, we are actually trying to absorb what it says. Or even if you're not doing that, then at the very least we're enjoying the recitation of the Qur'an. We're not looking at it as a burden. And if you're able to, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the understanding and the opportunity to absorb what is being read, and we start to weep, that is something that is good, that is recommended. Now we just have a little bit more time left, so let's go through this quickly, even though there's quite a bit. وَمَا نَتَنَزَّلُ إِلَّا بِأَمْرِ رَبِّكَ لَهُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِينَا وَمَا خَلْفَنَا وَمَا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا. Jibreel alayhi salam said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we do not descend but with the command of your Lord. To him belongs what is in front of us and what is behind us, what is was in between, and your Lord is not the one who forgets. رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما فاعبده واصطبر لعبادته هل تعلم له سميا. He is the Lord of the heavens and the earth and whatever lies between them. Everything belongs to Allah. So worship Him and persevere in His worship. Do you know anyone worthy of His name? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighting that to, and the word again here is Samiyya, which came originally when we were talking about Zakariya alayhi salam and the birth of Yahya alayhi salam. Do you know anyone who is worthy, who has worthy of the name, meaning who is worthy of his qualities of the one being worshipped? وَيَقُولُ الْإِنسَانُ أَإِذَا مَا مِتُّ لَسَوْفَ أُخْرَجُ حَيَّا. Man says, is it that once I die, I shall be brought forth alive? أَوَلَا يَذْكُرُ الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَلَمْ يَكُ شَيْئًا. Does not the man remember that we created him before when he was nothing? So this is the answer to those who might have doubts about the resurrection. That, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done it once when there was nothing, so why can't He do it the second time? فَوَرَبِّكَ لَنَحْشُرَنَّهُمْ وَالشَّيَاطِينَ ثُمَّ لَنَحْضُرَنَّهُمْ حَوْلَ جَهَنَّمَ جِثِيَّا. So by your Lord, we will definitely gather them together, and the devils as well. Then we will definitely make them present around the Jahannam, falling on their knees. ثُمَّ لَنَنْزِعَنَّ مِنْ كُلِّ شِيَعَةٍ أَيُّهُمْ أَشَدُّ عَلَى الرَّحْمَنِ عِتِيَّا. Then out of every group, we will certainly draw out those who were more rebellious against the All-Merciful. Again, we see the word of Rahman. ثُمَّ لَنَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِالَّذِينَ هُمْ أَوْلَى بِهَا صِلِيَّا. Then of course, we are most aware of those who are more deserving to enter into it, meaning into Jahannam. وَإِمِّنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا. There is none among you who does not have to arrive at it. So this is a reality that cannot be denied. This is undertaken by your Lord as an absolute decree, bound to be enforced. ثُمَّ نُنَجِّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَنَذَرُ الظَّالِمِينَ فِيهَا جِثِيًّا. Then we will save those who feared Allah and will leave the wrongdoers in it, falling on their knees. وَإِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُنَا بَيِّنَاتٍ قال الذين كفروا للذين آمنوا أي الفريقين خير مقاما وأحسن نديا. When our verses are recited to them in all their clarity, so that's saying that these verses are clear, when they're recited, the disbelievers say to the believers, and this is what they were doing in Mecca, which of the two groups is superior in its place and better in its assembly? Like, look at who has, you know, the better places of living. Look who has the better gatherings. As if that was a way of proving that they were under guidance. وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنْ قَرْنٍ هُمْ أَحْسَنُ أَثَاثًا وَرِئْيَا. How many generations have we destroyed before them who were better in assets and outlook? So how many others were there in the past who had more wealth, right? Who looked better, who had everything that was better, but they ended up being destroyed. قُلْ مَنْ كَانَ فِي الظَّلَالَةِ فَلْيَمْدُدْ لَهُ الرَّحْمَنُ مَدَّا حَتَّى إِذَا رَأَوْ مَا يُوعَدُونَ إِمَّا الْعَذَابَ وَإِمَّا السَّاعَةَ فَسَيَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ هُوَ شَرٌّ مَكَانًا وَأَضْعَفُ جُنْدًا. Say, whoever stays straying, let his term be extended by the All-Merciful still longer. So whoever has strayed from the path, say that, okay, let his term be extended by Allah still longer, until when they see, they will see what they were being warned of, either the punishment of the hour, either the punishment or the hour, then they will know who was worse in his place and weaker in his foes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a chance to us, to human beings. And he says, okay, I'll give you a chance. Right? I'll give you a chance. Do what you want to do. But remember that you have to return to me. وَيَزِيدُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا هُدَى وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ مَرَدًّا. Allah makes those on the right path excel in guidance, and the everlasting virtues are better with your Lord in respect of reward, and better in their return. So the everlasting virtues you're going to get in Jannah are those that matter, and those are the ones that are better than anything you get in this world. أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ بِآيَاتِنَا وَقَالَ لَأُوتَيَنَّ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا. Have you then seen him who rejected our verses and said, I shall certainly be given wealth and children? So like, we are on the guidance and you will get wealth and children. This is what they would say. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَطَّلَعَ الْغَيْبَ مِتَّخَذَ عِنْدَ الرَّحْمَنِ يَعْدَى. Has he peeped into the unseen? Has he taken a peep into what the future holds? Or taken a covenant with the All-Merciful, meaning signed some sort of deal with Allah, that Allah will supply him with wealth and children? كَلَّا سَنَكْتُبُ مَا يَقُولُ وَنَمُدُّ لَهُ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ مَدَّا. Never. We will write what he says and extend for him the punishment extensively. Whatever they are saying about these things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have that recorded. And because of these false beliefs and misplaced beliefs about Allah, the punishment will be extended. وَنَرِثُهُ مَا يَقُولُ وَيَأْتِينَا فَرْدًا. And we will inherit from him what he is talking about, and he will come to us all alone. Meaning, even if you have wealth and children and whatever you may have in this world, and you might think that you are guided because of all that you have in this world, remember that when we go back to Allah, we are going to go alone. وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ آلِهَةً لِيَكُونُوا لَهُمْ عِزَّةً. They have taken gods other than Allah so that they may be a source of might for them. كَلَّا سَيَكْفُرُونَ بِعِبَادَتِهِمْ وَيَكُونُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ ضِدَّةً. Never. They, meaning their fabricated lords, will soon reject their having worshipped them, and they will be just the opposite for them. So these lords, and even Isa alayhi salam, right, in the Quran is stated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask, right, that did you tell people to worship you? He's going to say, never, I never said this, that you should take me as a son of God, or that you should worship me, or anything like that. أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّا أَرْسَلْنَا الشَّيَاطِينَ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ تَأُزُّهُمْ أَزَّا. Have you not seen that we have sent the devils onto the disbelievers, inciting them with all their incitements? So when a person doesn't want to believe, and a person doesn't want to understand the truth, then the shaitan, the devil actually comes and incites and creates them and lets them do more and more. And the reason for that, one of the reasons possibly could be, is that what we say is what? أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. We seek Allah's protection from the devil. So when we're seeking the protection from Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting us. But for someone who is not agreeing to the belief of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not there, and the devil is able to roam free. فَلَا تَعْجَلْ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّمَا نَعُدُّ لَهُمْ عَدَّا. So make no hurry about them. We are but counting for them a countdown. So basically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, okay, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if the disbelievers are bothering you and they're not listening, that's okay. Right? Don't worry about it. We're counting it down. يَوْمَ نَحْشُرُ الْمُتَّقِينَ إِلَى الرَّحْمَنِ وَفْتَى. The day we will assemble the God-fearing before the All-Merciful as guests. وَنَسُوقُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ وِرْدًا. and we will drive the sinners towards the Jahannam as herds of cattle are driven towards water. لا يملكون الشفاعة إلا من اتخذ عند الرحمن عهدا. None will have power to intercede except the one who has entered into a covenant with the All-Merciful. So to say that my father or my prophet or anyone else or my idol will come and intercede is not correct. No one can intercede except the one who has entered into a covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to be allowed to intercede on behalf of someone, that will be allowed to happen. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. It's time for us. Should we finish up in a few minutes? Or should we pray? Finish up in 5 minutes?
Sure.
No one's waiting, right? Is there? No? Okay, so in these verses, which I went through very quickly, we see the warnings now. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after having discussed all of this, the miracle of the birds, the signs, the prophets, the signs of the pious and so on, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beginning to give the warnings. He's reminding the people about the day of resurrection, that it is actually something that is true and you will be held accountable for your beliefs and your deeds. And the mushrikun would use a status, as I mentioned, in life as a sign of guidance and say that because we have been blessed, because we have so much, that means that we are on the right path. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding them that they're going to end up leaving it all behind and return alone to Allah, and that it's not going to come in handy. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes back to the issue of ascribing a son to him. وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَلَدًا. They say the All-Merciful has got a son. And remember what I said in terms of analogy, right? In terms of someone making a false accusation against someone, and this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking a very strong stance about this. وَقَالَ اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَلَدًا. They say the All-Merciful Allah has got a son. لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدَّا. Indeed, you have come up with such an abominable statement. It's such a terrible statement that you have come up with, that I have a son. تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرُنَ مِنْهُ وَتَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضُ وَتَخِرُّ الْجِبَالُ هَدَّا. The strong words, you can even, just by hearing the sounds of it, even if you don't understand the Arabic, you could see that, you know, there's something very harsh being, something very grave being discussed here. That the heavens are well nigh, are about to explode at it, and the earth to burst apart, and the mountains to fall down crumbling. So here we see the severity of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us how severe this accusation is, that the skies are about to explode at it, the earth is about to burst apart, and the mountains to fall down crumbling because of this. أَنْدَعَوْ لِلرَّحْمَنِ وَلَدًا. For they have ascribed a son to the All-Merciful. وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لِلرَّحْمَنِ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا. While it does not behove the All-Merciful to have a son. So this is the nature of the false accusation, right? So if someone makes a false accusation against us, we get upset about it, we want to defend ourselves, we get angry. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that something has been ascribed to me which is not befitting of me, which does not behove me. In kullu man fis samawati wal ard illa ati ar-rahmani 'abda. There is none in the heavens and the earth but bound to come to the All-Merciful as a slave. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it clear that every single living being, anything that is in the heavens or the earth, whether they be aliens or planets or the universe or anything on this earth, no matter what it is in the universe, it is all bound to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a slave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making that very clear. I don't have any sons, I'm not dependent on anyone. Everyone, every single thing that exists is under my control and is my slave. لَقَدْ أَحْصَاهُمْ وَعَدَّهُمْ عَدَّا. He has fully encompassed them and precisely calculated their numbers. وَكُلُّهُمْ آتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا. Meaning, لَقَدْ أَحْصَاهُمْ وَعَدَّهُمْ عَدَّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly what is going on. He knows exactly the situation for each one, how many there are, all the details. وَكُلُّهُمْ آتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا. But each one of them is bound to come to him on the day of judgment all alone. إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات سيجعل لهم الرحمن ودا. Surely those who believe and do righteous deeds, for them the All Merciful will create love. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing the type of emotion He will welcome these people with. For them the All Merciful will create love. ف فإنما يسرناه بلسانك لتبشر به المتقين وتنذر به قوما لدا. So we have made it, the Quran, easy through your tongue, so that you give with it the good news to the God-fearing and warn with it a stubborn people. So on the one hand, it's good news, it's glad tidings for those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's a form of a warning for those who are stubborn. وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنْ قَرْنٍ هَلْ تُحِسُّ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَوْ تَسْمَعُ لَهُمْ رِكْزًا. And finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends with this reminder, and how many generations we have destroyed before them. Do you sense the presence of any one of them, or hear from them even in whisper? That no matter how much strength they had and how powerful they thought they were with all the wealth that they had, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to destroy them, and now they are forgotten and you don't even hear a whisper from them. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indicating the graveness, the seriousness of the accusation, and is highlighting that everything, as I mentioned, is a slave, is a servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is a reminder of the past punishment that were given to the previous nations. So with that, we conclude. It was probably too short for a long surah such as this, but in any case, any mistakes that may have occurred in our minds, any good that comes out of it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.